Thanks so much. My name is John Winkowski. I'm a fish biologist with WDFW in the fish science program. And today I'm going to be talking to you about the Chehalis thermoscape model and optimal summer rearing habitat for juvenile salmon steelhead. And I'm collaborating on this work with Mara Zimmerman. So temperature and salmon. Temperature is of interest, especially in the face of climate change. Salmon and steelhead and other fish species are ectothermic. They have a limited ability to regulate metabolism and other processes that they rely on to live and survive. So they have developed life histories and behaviors to track temperature patterns across river systems. Patterns in their distribution, their abundance, community structure, track these spatial temperature gradients across multiple spatial scales. And so understanding stream temperature is of critical importance for planning restoration, for protecting habitat, and understanding how climate change may impact salmonids in the future. The Norwest stream temperature model is this really amazing tool that has been produced by scientists, a collaboration of scientists, not only in the US, but in Australia as well. It's an August stream temperature model, so it provides stream temperatures across spatially continuous areas of the lower 48 states in the western part of the US. It's a spatial stream network model, which is a unique type of model for river systems. It predicts, as I said, stream temperature over space and time, so they have covariates that represent space, like elevation and stuff like that, but then also time, so stream flow during the summer months of a given year or August air temperatures in a given year. This model is at a regional scale. It's been produced. I circled up in the top left there the Western Washington Processing Unit that Norwest models for our area up here. And it's a pretty diverse processing unit. There's a lot of heterogeneity across the landscape from the Skagit River down through Puget Sound, the Chehalis River down here, and also the Olympic Peninsula. And these models, like most models, are limited. Their predictive power is limited by the distribution of the observations, the actual empirical data that is input. So if I blow up the Chehalis Basin, when Norwest was published and released, there were a few data points in the basin, and they were kind of clustered in the headwaters of the Olympic Mountain tributaries that are colder than, say, some of the areas down in the Willapa Hills, relatively. And so when we began our work, we started collecting a lot of temperature data in the basin starting in 2014. And we compared the temperatures that we were observing with the temperatures that Norwest was predicting. And this is sort of a perfect one-to-one prediction line, which you would hope your model would fit on, which they don't really, but you'd hope they'd be around it, right? And so what we were seeing was most of our observed temperatures were all above the line, and that was telling us that what we were seeing in the Chehalis was the temperatures were actually a lot warmer than what Norwest was predicting. So we added all of these stream temperature monitoring sites throughout the basin, and you can kind of see all these black dots relative to what was previously available in the Norwest model, and we decided to update this spatial stream network model and create the Chehalis thermoscape specific to the basin. And so I just showed you this figure of the Norwest predictions. And so the new thermoscape model was, predicting a lot better. There was a lot more data. So we were, a lot closer to that prediction line with what we were actually observing in the basin, which is great. When we look at the comparison of the Norwest model and the Chehalis thermoscape visually, these temperature lines, anything in the blue is from 8 to 12 degrees Celsius. Anything that's orange and in kind of darker red is 16 to over 20 degrees Celsius, and again, these are mean August stream temperatures. And the Chehalis Thermalscape model, you can just kind of see that there's a lot more warm stream miles that were modeled compared to what Norwest was previously showing for current conditions. And a lot of those, you know, warm areas were in sort of the central, south central part of the basin. It's like this, it looks like a heart, and it's like pumping water out. But anyways, so a lot more warm stream miles down there, and in also the lower parts of the Olympic Peninsula tribs as well, and sort of some of those, some tulip areas there on the Olympic Mountain tributaries. And so with this modeling technique, you can project out under climate change scenarios by adjusting the August air temperature and August stream flow in the model based on climate models that have been published. And so we kind of use the same approach as Norwest. They also put out, you know, mid-century and late century predictions. And when we did this, I just showed you this 2018 thermalscape. The 2080 model, by adjusting the stream temperature or the stream flow and the August air temperature, is here, and it's a lot warmer. As you can see, there's a lot more stream miles that are, you know, above 18, above 20 degrees Celsius during summer months predicted in this model. And just to compare that with what the 2080 Norwest model looked like, you know, it looks a lot more like what our current model is telling us about the summer stream temperature in the Chehalis. So just really nails home the importance of understanding where you are now and then predicting out into the future what things could look like. So to wrap up the thermalscape, you know, our observations of August temperature were a lot warmer than what Norwest was predicting for stream temperature in the summer, greater than 4 degrees Celsius in some locations. This thermalscape model provides more robust predictions across the landscape of the Chehalis. It's available as a tool for, you know, biologists, researchers, restoration practitioners, modelers, everyone who's, you know, doing work in the basin. It also gives us a picture of stream temperatures under climate change scenarios. And this is a landscape temperature model, so it doesn't pick up on fine scale thermal refugia, like hyperreic flow at the bottom of a pool or a riffle. That's kind of gonna produce those like fine scale microhabitat features. It's more broad scale temperature patterns. So that's just important to keep in mind when you're using this or thinking about it. So now, taking that thermalscape model, we have put it into use for some other work that we've been doing, looking at thermal summer rearing habitat for juvenile salmon steelhead. From 2013 through 2016, field crews that I've worked with have snorkeled over almost 400 kilometers of stream habitat, collecting juvenile salmon and steelhead data across the Chehalis River. Using those snorkel data, we developed these generalized additive models, which is taking fish density as a response variable, using August temperature, and then landscape variables as response variables in these models. So after we develop the models, we combine those with the Chehalis thermalscape maps to develop these spatially continuous maps of thermal summer rearing habitat. So currently and future, where are areas of the basin that are suitable or optimal for juvenile salmon rearing habitat? We focused on juvenile coho, juvenile steelhead, age 0, age 1, and resident trout. These are species and age classes that use the river for the whole summer. We didn't model for Chinook because they generally outmigrate out of the river by the end of July. Some caveats to this is it doesn't consider stream accessibility. There's anthropogenic barriers, slope barriers, natural barriers that prohibit usage of habitat. And so this is just thermally optimal habitat across the basin. As I mentioned, this is a sort of a landscape scale model. doesn't capture those important features of fine scale thermal refugia that are going to be important, that are important now and also going to be important in the future. This is an example of the fish density relationship with temperature for juvenile coho salmon. And we have temperature on the x-axis and fish density on the y-axis. And what you can pick up here is that the relationship between density and temperature is not linear. So it doesn't have a straight line going down here. It's a nonlinear relationship. Areas that are too cold and areas that are too warm have low density. So it's not just the colder the better, but there's sort of a sweet spot of temperature that is associated with the highest fish density index here. And we define thermally optimal habitat as the top 25% of the fish density index. So now I'm going to take this model and the temperature relationship and plop it on the Chehalis map here. And so for current conditions, coho thermally optimal habitat, which is about 25% of the basin, that top 25% of the fish density index, is about 1,200 kilometers of stream, and they're distributed variably across the landscape. Starting in Grays Harbor, the South Grays Harbor tribs, and these western Olympic Mountain tribs are showing that blue color, which is the optimal habitat, whereas the red is poor. And then there's some areas throughout the Olympic Mountain tribs that have those blue colors, also the headwaters areas or upper areas of some of the Cascade Mountain tributaries, and tributaries in the Willapa Hills area down there. Yeah, and so we modeled this forward through 2040 and 2080. And so in 2040, the amount of thermally optimal habitat for juvenile coho salmon is reduced to about 6%, or about 305 kilometers of the basin. You can see less of that blue habitat throughout the basin, but it's starting to shift upstream by mid-century into the Olympic Mountain tributaries, clustered in the headwaters of the Cascade Mountain tributaries, and there's still a few sections in throughout the basin, but also in the Willapa Hills. By 2080, about 2% of the basin, or 103 kilometers, are modeled to be thermally optimal for coho. Again, the headwaters of the Olympic Mountain tributaries are some of the remaining clusters of thermally optimal habitat for juvenile coho salmon, and also in the Cascade Mountain tributaries. This is all without restoration, and also, not considering restoration, but also, as I mentioned before, there's going to be important thermal refugia scattered throughout the basin that, will be really vital moving forward to hone in on and protect and enhance in the future. So it's not, it looks bad. So to sum up, from 2018 to 2080, we modeled about 1,100 kilometer net loss of thermally optimal habitat for juvenile coho salmon. And the thermally optimal habitat by late century shifts to the headwaters of the Olympic Mountain tribs, and there's a little bit of habitat up there in the Cascade Mountains. The updated temperature model, it provides important information for current and future stream temperatures in the Chehalis, important tool for restoration, important tool for fish distribution modeling, and any other work that is important for aquatic habitat in the basin. The salmon density and temperature relationships are nonlinear, so too warm or too cold is associated with low density, so there's sort of a sweet spot for salmon density and temperature. Under climate change, without restoration, the majority of the basin by late century is not thermally suitable for summer rearing, and the thermal habitat shifts by late century to the headwaters of the Olympic Mountains and the Cascade Mountains. And that's really important for future rearing habitat for juvenile salmon and steelhead. With that, I don't know how much time I have left, but I'm out. But thanks so much. I mean, the field crews, that collected all the fish data and the stream temperature data were incredible, and all the folks that let us on their land couldn't have done it without that help, and of course the state legislature for funding research. Thank you.